The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. The groundhog saw his shadow tone. Are you ready for six more weeks of winter?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. It's winter. I haven't left the house since June. It's winter? Oh,
I mean, you know, we're coming up. There's going to be a happy anniversary soon, and it'll be 1 year with you in that damn attic. We're coming up on that.
Yeah, I know, I know.
We're like six weeks shy of that.
I know, it's getting musty in here too, I gotta admit that. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Aaron Rodgers versus the Packers, baseball owners versus baseball players, and LeBron versus two courtside fans. But we begin today with Deshaun Watson. We did not get to him yesterday because of Matthew Stafford. But with Stafford moved, let's now consider where Watson might end up. There are reports that he has his eye on the New York Jets, and he likes Robert Saleh, their new coach. Wilbon, is it wise for Watson to want the Jets?
You know, Tony, this is kind of like yesterday, talking about the Lions, you know, and what these teams do, no matter what the deals are, when they've been bad for decades, and there's hardly ever any interruption. Now, the Jets have interrupted decades of badness more often than the Lions, because they went to the AFC title game, what, twice? You know, and so, okay, maybe they haven't been like a wall of awful, but I know, I mean, of all the places he could go, and here's the thing, Tony, I understand. One, if you like this new coach, I get that. And two, if you got buddies that you can play with and they can come as free agents because the Jets have money. Yeah. So between the draft picks and players going to bring in Deshaun Watson if there was a trade, and then money to bring in, say, a couple of stud receivers, you know, let's say Robinson, a free agent from the Bears, is one of them. You could create your own winning culture, maybe, but it's still risky, don't you think?
Yeah, let me say this. I understand this thinking. It's New York. It's bright lights. It's big city. There's great financial opportunity. But there is a trail of tears that the Jets leave wherever they go. Let me again show you the one highlight in 60 years. It's this. It's Joe Namath pointing his finger when they've won the Super Bowl. I mean, you have to look at this team. You're talking, you're blue-skying about what they could get.
Yeah.
What do they have now?
Not much.
They have any wide receivers who threaten down the field? No, their best wide receiver, and we know him from Washington, was Jamison Crowder, and he's okay, but he's not great. Who is their running back? Frank Gore, who's 300 years old? I mean, look at the coaches recently and their records recently. Adam Gase, 9-23. Todd Bowles, 24-40. Rex Ryan's last 3 years, 19-28. So you put all of this on Saleh, who's a defensive guy? Why do you think Sam Darnold looks so bad? He may stink, but he's got nothing around him, Mike.
Well,
nothing.
Tony, I'm giving you, Watson's got to be plotting wherever he's going. And part of wherever he's going is, I got to bring some people with me. He knows who the running back is. He knows who the receivers are and therefore aren't. So he's not doing this in a vacuum. So he's got to have a plan, and the people who advise him, his agents and his team and the people around him. Again, I'm not saying it's going to work. I would not do it. I agree with you. I'm just trying to see the rosy side here. Right?
Well, again, a trail of tears. Other than Namath, who are the Jets' great players? Who are you going to go to, Klecko and Gastineau?
Yeah.
Are you going to do that?
Yeah.
On offense, in
Freeman,
the last
McNeil,
30 years, who's in the Hall of Fame for them? Well, Curtis Martin, who spent half his career with New England. No, if he wants to go to New York, go across the hallway to the Giants. It's a better circumstance.
Damn.
Go across the hall.
Wow. We have fresh insight into Aaron Rodgers' relationship with the Packers. Former cheesehead guard T.J. Lang told Detroit radio station WXYT that Rodgers is, quote, hell-bent on some revenge, close quote, since the team drafted quarterback Jordan Love instead of drafting help for him. Quote, I think he's going to make them pay. I think he's going to hold their feet to the fire and say, hey, if you're going to keep me around, A, you're going to pay me, and B, you're going to bring in some players that I want to play with where we can take this next leap, close quote, Lambo leap. Tone, do you believe in Lang's analysis?
Well, yes, to a large degree, I do believe in it if that's what Aaron Rodgers wants. If Aaron Rodgers has determined this team is good enough, I've got to make it better, and I want to stay here. Because if that happens, if he makes them give him a lot of money, that ends Jordan Love in the near term. They're not, if they spend all that money on Rodgers, it's going to Rodgers. He's going to be the number one guy. If they bring in a receiver who can catch a two-point conversion so that they're in that playoff game, that helps Aaron Rodgers. All of it sets him up ahead of Matt LaFleur because they cater to him. They improve his stature if that's what he wants. I mean, this is, look at that team. Davante Adams, pretty good. Robert Tonyan, he's pretty good. Their running back, that's pretty good. I mean, if he wants to stay and he wants to stay as the top dog, then I will buy this, yes.
Yeah, I got a couple of problems with this whole thing. I'm not going to doubt the sincerity and even the validity of a teammate knowing Aaron Rodgers better than the rest of us. That's fine.
Right.
But here are my problems. Right. Here are my problems. One, Tony, and you and I, we love Aaron Rodgers. Maybe we're way too over the top. We're like an Aaron Rodgers commercial. We love Aaron Rodgers. But, Tony, the Green Bay Packers did this once before when they said to Brett Favre, you know, we see the end of coming, and we're going to draft a guy that we believe in, Aaron Rodgers. The Packers this right before, spectacularly right, with two huge figures in the history, recent history of pro football. Now, they draft Jordan Love. Why would you draft Jordan Love and then basically give in to Rodgers' demands, right, and just supply him with people when you've got a guy you drafted, you spent the capital, you believe, you scouted, you plotted? Why would you do that? So I think there's going to be some resistance. The Packers act like there's no resistance. I don't believe that. I believe that's a lie. Because if you love Rodgers this much, longer term, you wouldn't have drafted Love. So now that you've drafted Love, I don't believe all this other flowery garbage.
Okay. All right. Look, a couple of things need to be said. Tom Brady looked at the Patriots and said, there's a deterioration of my receivers and a deterioration of my running backs. Gronk is gone. Edelman gets hurt all the time. So he restructured his contract so he could get out. Maybe Rodgers, maybe he in fact wants to stay. I know that I've said many times he's gone, and I could be wrong. But what I'm not wrong about and what you're not wrong about is he's giving them a chance to commit their hearts to him. And if they don't, Mike, if they don't, he can say, well, you don't want me. Get me out of here. That still remains possible. Yeah. All right, let's get back into the baseball story we discussed yesterday. The players have officially rejected baseball's proposal to start a month late, play 154 games, but pay the players for 162. The players insist on starting on time and playing 162. So, Wilbon, is this the best result for the players?
I don't know what the best result for the players is. This is what baseball does. And I'm out of the business of trying to figure out what's best at each side and take a side. And what's this side going to do tomorrow? And how they're going to negotiate? And what do you think they'll think of the new plan? The hell with baseball on the labor front. I mean, I love baseball. Baseball is why I do what I do. I got in. I became a sports writer to cover baseball. My first love in my life is baseball. And now baseball can go to hell. When it comes to labor disputes, I don't care. This is what they're going to do. They're going to fight each other. You can believe neither side because each side does not believe a word the other side is saying. You and I know this. We covered baseball disputes in our life, lots of them. I don't care what baseball says. They're going to have a dispute. And Tony, you know what's else going to happen? They could go away for a long time because I don't believe people right now are in the business of putting sport ahead of themselves and other things in the culture.
So I love baseball as much as you do.
I know you do.
And that was all I ever wanted to do was be a baseball writer when I got into this whole deal. I don't think this is about 154 games or 162 games or anything like that. This is the players saying, we hate you. We don't trust anything you say. We want power. We want power now. And then we want it when we sit down to even see if there's going to be a season next year because we've got to get to a collective bargaining agreement. Here's what they did. The baseball said, we'll pay you for 162 and you only have to play 154. Rejected.
Right.
Baseball said, we'll cover your expenses at rental houses if we delay spring training and you've already put up money. We'll cover it. Baseball rejected it. Baseball said we will limit Rob Manfred in how much he can change the schedule. And the players rejected it. They don't want to give in on anything, Mike.
I'm sure there'll be people on every network who cling to these back and forths in the disputes. They'll cling to it. They'll report it passionately and accurately. I don't care because it doesn't matter. You know how each one of those sides doesn't believe each other? I don't believe either one of them. When baseball's played, I'll be there. I will be there. I buy tickets to go to baseball because, again, just like you, my first love, the reason I do what I do. But, Tom, if I am not going to strap it on and ride out another baseball dispute with the back and forth of each side and what each side believes. Each side believes nothing except in itself.
So the sadness for me is a bunch of things happened last year that I liked. I like the expanded playoffs. I like the seven-inning doubleheaders, two of those games.
That.
I like starting a guy on second, right?
Maybe.
I enjoyed that.
Maybe.
I enjoyed the DH in both leagues.
Maybe.
It made it easier for me.
So.
And all of these things are gone because baseball players will not compromise on anything. So let's take a break. Coming up, the Clippers face the Nets tonight. Which team has better title prospects?
It's also after 100 years of baseball owners not compromising on anything, so they deserve each other. And would the Niners be wise to replace Jimmy G with Captain Kirk Cousins?
I don't think you have to like the owners to see that the players are being obstinate in this. I don't think you have to do
after
that.
After the owners were obstinate for 100 years.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry.
Part of the interruption is brought to you by Jardiance.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to post another W and toss up. Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
Toss up, they play tonight. Better title prospects, the Clippers or the Nets?
Well, everything points to the Clippers at the moment. They've got the best record in the NBA. They're 16-5. They're 9-1 in their last 10. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are playing great. They're averaging 50 points between them a game. They're shooting 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% from the line, which are great numbers. Everybody's listening to Ty Lue, obviously. I'd be an idiot not to take the Clippers, so of course I'm taking the Nets. And I'm taking the Nets for two reasons. One, the Eastern Conference is easier to navigate than the Western
Conference.
I don't know about
that anymore.
And two, their ceiling is the highest in all of basketball. When the three guys play, Harden and Durant and Kyrie, they are 3-1. They score in such prolific bunches that it's scary. They play no defense, Mike. I concede that.
Yeah.
But they don't have to play it now. They have to play it in April and May, and that is coaching responsibility.
Shortcomings. The Clippers only have one. It was the same one they had last year. The personality of the team. You got guys who can play, but they're quiet. And somebody needs to lead that team on the court and off the court in the spring. You got Paul George, who's still quiet. Kawhi, still and forever quiet. Lou Williams, great player. Quiet Ibaka, acquired player, wonderful veteran. quiet guy, even T. Lou. Now, T. Lou seems to be an asset where no matter where he is, and he doesn't get enough credit for what happened in Cleveland and not getting enough so far for what happens with Clippers. But so that's the shortcoming, the personality of the team that haunted them last year. Brooklyn, 147 and 146 back-to-back nights, barely win once, lose the other one. Tony, I think they're going to learn how to play defense. Harden seems to be insisting on it. I love Harden's evolution of demeanor and change in demeanor. I'm only going to disagree with you on one thing.
What? Disagreeing with you on one thing.
What's that?
I don't think Lou Williams is quiet when he goes to get the chicken that he got.
I don't think he's quiet.
Next.
Better quarterback for the Niners, Jimmy Garoppolo or Kirk Cousins?
I love this question. I'm so intrigued by it. The notion that somehow these two could be traded for each other, because Kyle Shanahan appears to have soured on Jimmy Garoppolo. Now he's reaching out for his first love, Kirk Cousins, who he called plays for in Washington. That's what he did. I mean, Kirk Cousins signed for the biggest guarantee in the history of quarterbacks 3 years ago, I guess it was. And what's he won? He's won one playoff game. Garoppolo got to the Super Bowl. Garoppolo beat Cousins on the way to the Super
Bowl.
That
means he won
and
two
Cousins'
playoff
record,
games.
All of Cousins' stats are great, but here's his record. 25-21-1. So maybe Minnesota would be willing to part with him. Look, I think both these guys are overvalued, but I think if Shanahan had Cousins, that's better for the 49ers.
There's one important distinguishing factor between these two, Garoppolo and Cousins. Cousins plays in every game. Cousins is Cal Ripken and Lou Gehrig. He's missed one game. And we've seen over the course of the last couple of years in various cities what happens when you don't have your starting quarterback. Garoppolo gets hurt all the time. And look, you can get hurt. It's football. But Kirk Cousins, Tony, what is the greatest ability availability?
He's got it.
And maybe that is a big part of what Shanahan remembers from his time in Washington when he was an assistant.
That's it. Hold that L, Wilbon. It's yours. Let's take one last break. Still to come, four Hawks fans are shown the door after getting into it with LeBron.
And the new-look Rockets have won six straight. Isn't it time for Tony to stop ripping H-Town, huh? Huh?
Is that what it's called, H-Town?
For the last 27 years since they won those two titles with Akeem.
You know what? Traffic is so bad there that once I got out, I never went back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 81st birthday, Wayne Fonts. Because the Lions are in the news for trading away Matthew Stafford, let's look back on their last 30-plus years. Fonts became the coach in 1988. He won 12 games and a playoff game in 1991. 12 games are the most any Lions team has ever won. That playoff win is the last one for the Lions. Fonts' career record with the Lions, 66-67. That's the most wins ever by a Lions coach, and the most losses. Since Fonts, the Lions have just one coach who wasn't an interim, who finished his time in Detroit with more wins than losses, Jim Caldwell, who was 36-28 and 0-2 in the playoffs. Otherwise, there's Bobby Ross, 27-30 and 0-3 in the playoffs, Marty Morningweg, 5-27, Steve Mariucci, 15-24, Rod Marinelli, 10-38, Jim Schwartz, 29-51 and 0-1 in the playoffs, and Matt Patricia, 13-29-1. It is incomprehensible that they fired Caldwell. They should have built a statue to him.
Firing Fonts was fairly stupid. Firing Caldwell plus 8 for that sorry no-account franchise is the dumbest head coach firing maybe ever, and certainly in the last 30 years. I mean, this is spectacularly stupid.
Happy anniversary, Kansas City Chiefs. On this day last year, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl 31-20, and they came back from 20-10 down with 7 minutes left in the game to do it. Had the Chiefs not come back, we would not be talking about Patrick Mahomes as the baby goat, nor would we be talking about the 49ers dumping Jimmy Garoppolo. But the Chiefs got two late touchdowns from running back Damian Williams, one running, one passing, picked off Garoppolo twice. Often the team that loses a Super Bowl doesn't make the playoffs the next year, as happened to the 49ers this year. More often, the winning Super Bowl team does not repeat. This year, the Chiefs have a chance. To draw inspiration, just look across the line of scrimmage at Tom Brady, who himself did it 17 years ago, the last time it happened.
Gives the Chiefs a better chance, Tony, since Mahomes says his previously injured toe is close to 100%. And last I checked, that mobility, that's part, a great part of what makes Patrick Mahomes so spectacular.
Happy trails to four courtside fans at the Lakers-Hawks game. Security escorted four fans out of their seats in the fourth quarter of last night's Lakers win in Atlanta. LeBron James and a male fan got into it. According to John Boy, both were cursing at each other, so shout out to John Boy. Then the fan's wife started cursing a streak of her own and lowered her mask to do so, a clear violation of the safety protocols. She later posted a rant on social media. This whole thing calls into question whether fans should be let into games, as the Hawks do. They're one of nine NBA teams to allow a limited number of fans in. LeBron said in general he is happy fans are in the arena. Quote, I miss that interaction. I need that interaction, LeBron said, channeling a few good men. Interesting, the issue became the lack of masks rather than the stunning amount of curse words per second.
LeBron took the high road in that whole episode last night. And it was really funny when he said, and I'm sure he really meant it, we're happy to have our fans back. Don't get our fans angry at me. It was very funny. Let them in. Just let players whatever say whatever they want back. I know the NBA not going to do that.
Let's go to the big finish. Team USA basketball is scheduled to open its Olympic competition against France on July 25th. Are you excited?
Tone, there's a lot of optimism in that statement. How about optimistic? We don't know if it's going to happen, but, you know, okay, for now. The official attendance at the Super Bowl will be 25,000 fans and 30,000 cutouts. I don't buy that for a second, do you?
No, and I'm going to quote Michael Wilbon. There'll be at least 40,000 live bodies in there because it's Florida. The Rockets beat the Thunder for their sixth straight win. You're impressed, right?
Steven Silas, Christian Wood, Victor Oladipo. They got that team. That team is fun to watch, and they're good. Duke lost to Miami last night to fall to 7-6. Your thoughts?
It's just hard to believe. Duke isn't any good. It's hard to believe. Last one, number 2, Baylor at number 6, Texas tonight. Are you smelling upset?
No, Baylor, 16-0, they're going to keep winning, Tony.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Shaka Smart is back, though. That's good to see. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Now, here's SportsCenter.
Doug, it's still snowing. I thought this was going away.